salvation that we have in our Savior Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the risen one, the soon coming King. How great our salvation is. We are so thankful and humbled that you would look upon a people such as us, sinners, that we deserve your condemnation. We have broken your law, but yet, as was spoken of this morning, you set your love upon us. What greater presentation of your love than what your only begotten Son would do to go to Calvary and lay down his life for us. Enemies, sinners, lawbreakers. It's just amazing. And we thank you tonight. We worship you tonight. We give you all honor and glory tonight. For our dear Savior, and he is soon coming again. We look for that. That's our hope. Without that hope, we are all men most miserable. We're just like the world. There's nothing to look forward to. But we have a hope, and that's our Savior is coming, our Redeemer. He will come. It may be tonight. It may be this very moment. But he is coming. He has promised that. You see, when he went up in the clouds, he said, don't gaze up here. Why are you marveling? That same Jesus is coming again. And we look to that. That's our hope. Thank you, Lord, for all your promises that you give us to the believers. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. 75. At Calvary. Deciphering. Take the name of Jesus with you everywhere. Precious name.
of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet.
Romans 8 this morning. So I got the second dose for y'all of Romans 8. But the Bible doesn't get old. I think Brother Keith said it one time in one of his devotions that, you know, we could read a book every Sunday. We could read the same book and it would eventually, you know, it'd get old.
Right.
But God's Word, it don't get old.
Yeah, right.
It never tires.
It's alive.
Yeah, it's alive.
It's alive.
So in Romans 8, verse 1, I'm just going to read to verse 18. That's what I had as my section. So, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, and we will suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yes.
If you look back up at verse 1 the word condemnation, I looked it up and Webster defines it as the act of condemning, the judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. So there is no condemnation even now. Jesus Christ has paid for our sins, past, present, and future. And so now we have, you know, our sins, you know, but we have no condemnation to us through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. It's finished. It's all. He's done it all. The word now, Gill says that the word now is not an adverb of time, but a note of illation. Illation is the act of inferring or drawing conclusion. So now, it's done. So, if you look at, I also have a note here. The evidence of one that is in Christ is one who walks after the Spirit. Those who have been born again by the Spirit of God have a new nature that is given to them and the Holy Spirit to guide them and convince them of sin. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So, those who are in Christ do good works from the Spirit through them. We do good works because we have the Spirit with us. And we do it because we love God. We have this new love for God because God loved us. And rather than an obedience to the law and the threatening of the law, we do it, you know, voluntarily. And it's called the Spirit of life because those who are regenerated are now alive. We have a life, you know. And before we were dead. We were dead. And this life is from the Spirit of God, who is the author of it. God is, you know, is behind it. And I have a note right here. The law of Moses declared us to be the chief of sinners and condemned us to a spiritual death. But the gospel came as good news to those who have been born from above and has set them free from the law that before had condemned them. So we have freedom through the gospel. We have freedom from Jesus Christ. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I have a verse right here, Hebrews 10:14.
Let's see.
10:14. Y'all have heard this before. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yeah. Yep.
So, the human nature cannot fulfill the law. We can't achieve self-righteousness. You know? We can't achieve the law. We sin every day. You know? So we need Jesus Christ. And, God sent His Son so that we would have, you know, salvation through His finished work. In verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I have a note right here, not fulfilled by us in our persons, but this is to be understood of the righteousness of the law filled by Christ and the righteousness being imputed to us. So, in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's pretty straightforward, but they that are after the flesh, you know, they mind the things of the flesh. They're, you know, they look forward to getting things in this life, and their mind is set in this life. Gill says these things are sinful, the lusts, works, and sins of the flesh, which they may be said to mind since their affections are set upon them. And the things of the Spirit, the carnal mind is after the flesh and the things of the flesh. So those born again by the Spirit of God, it's the opposite. So who are given a renewed mind, do mind the things of the Spirit. And Gill says that the things of the Spirit are spiritual blessings, the doctrines of the gospel, and spiritual sacrifices and services. So, In verse 6, for the for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, a pretty straightforward. Romans 8 is very, you know, it's pretty easy to understand. But Gill says the mind, the understanding, the judgment, the will, the affections, the thoughts, the reason, which may be called the wisdom of the flesh, as opposed to the wisdom from above, this is all that the lost man has.
Right.
You have the wisdom of this world. That's all you have. He is completely void of the other. All the wisdom that the world can produce is but carnal wisdom. The end of it all is death, and eternal death if you were to die. That's all it'll get you, is eternal death. Matthew 23:27. This goes along with what I just said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. But if you look at verse 6 again, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded, one has to be born again. You have to be born again to be spiritually minded and have life and peace. And in that, in which the spirit, in which spiritual life is breathed into a once dead sinner. If you look at the word life, it's to be alive and have life, to have eternal life, which is the only true life that you can have through Jesus Christ. And peace. I wouldn't say it's peace with the flesh, that's for sure. We're at war with, you know, ourselves every day. So it's not peace with the flesh, but we have peace in the hope of Jesus Christ and His finished work. That's what our peace is in. And the righteousness, the religious world is at work to obtain their own salvation by their works, but those born of God are at rest in Christ. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you're saved here today, you have peace with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. That word enmity, Webster defines it, is the quality of being an enemy. The opposite of friendship, ill will, hatred, unfriendly dispositions, and malevolence. It's worse than being an enemy.
Right.
It's worse than being an enemy. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Carnal men may observe the law to some degree for the wrong persons, but it is not from a free and voluntary heart. See, someone who's saved, they have a free and voluntary heart to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing. You know, we may fail, but our desire is to do the right thing. Isaiah 5:24 says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's described in the carnal mind of a man. In Jeremiah 6:10, this is again Jeremiah 6:10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, this ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. That's again describing the carnal mind. So you can't come to Christ without God. I mean, you can't come to God without Christ.
Right.
You know? And in verse 8, so then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, what I just said. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man. Oh no! Wait, hang on. Yeah, two. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
That's right.
Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, not if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Gill says that the inhabitation of the Spirit is the distinguishing character of a regenerated man. If you look at the part where it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any individual man that has not the Spirit of God dwelling in him, then he has not been born again of the Spirit and does not belong to Christ. In verse 10, and if Christ be in you, His person is in heaven, and His blood is within the veil, and His Spirit and grace are in His people. And if the body is dead because of sin, that's talking about the mortal body that we dwell in. The mortal body we dwell in is dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And Gill says that this has reference to the soul of man and not the Spirit of God. So we have this mortal body we dwell in, but our soul has life through the imputed righteousness of Christ. In verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the sovereignty of God. That's the power of God.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right. You see, if you look at the part where it says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of Him is also the Spirit of God. You can say that. In Acts 3:26, I have Acts 3:26. Unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And if you look at the part where it says dwell in you, it's the same Spirit that dwells in you. It is the same Spirit that dwells in you if you are born again. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you? And if you look at the part where it says, He raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Father that raised up Christ from the dead by His Spirit shall also raise up our mortal bodies in glory. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians, I got another verse. 1 Corinthians 15:52. You can start in 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that could happen at any time. You know that. In verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. What that's saying right there is we're not, you know, in debt to the flesh, not to sin that we must pay for, but and we're under no obligation to the flesh, that we should live after the flesh. We should try our best, you know, live after the Spirit, you know. And they were saints who had been freed from condemnation and death. I have a little note for the spirit of bondage. If you look at where is that? I think that's in the next verse. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye to the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you look at the part where it says, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die, it's talking to lost people. If you were to die without the Spirit, you will not only die, but die for eternity. You will die for eternity. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's talking to us. Regenerated, saved people. Those who have the Spirit want to remove sin from their lives because they want to get closer to God and because they love God. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
We who have been led by the Holy Spirit that pointed us to the work of Christ have us faith and hope in Him. We have faith and hope in Him. That's all we have. Not in anything we've done. And we are the sons of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. In verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Abba is the Greek word for Father. If you look at, for ye have not received the Spirit convicted us of our sins, and fear came because we saw that God hated sin. God hates sin, you know. He hates sin. We don't even understand how much He hates sin. You know, I think we get a little taste of how much He hates sin when we're under conviction, you know, and realize, you know, but we really don't. We really don't know how much He hates sin. And but He gave us the hope and faith to trust in Jesus Christ, and He removed that fear and wrought peace in our minds. That's where I have that name. Spirit of bondage. I have a little note right there for it. It is the God of this world that leads men to bondage. He is very active in religion, which holds men in bondage. I think Brother Charlie said something like that this morning. Don't follow religion. Don't follow religion. The Holy Spirit leads us to a knowledge that we who have been saved have been adopted in the family of God, and that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. We've been adopted into God's family. And God, He does this by giving us faith in the Word of God and guiding us into the truths it contains. Only those who have been called and born again can call God Father. Only those who have been born again can call Him Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our spirit cannot bear witness to itself. It is only the Spirit that can bear witness to us, to our spirits. This is the same Spirit whereby we are made to cry, Father. Verse 17. And And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. It says if we suffer with Him, it says we will suffer with Him. And the Roman, if you look at if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs, the Roman law stated whether natural or adopted, that children are heirs to their parents. So if that be the case, so if we are sons of God, then we are His heirs. We're His heirs.
Right.
And joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to His promise.
Amen.
If you look at if so be that we suffer with Him, if we're saved, we're one with Christ. We're one with Christ. So with Him being the head, so we are going to suffer with Him. We're going to suffer with Him. John 15:18, if you turn over there. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. You turn over right next to it, it says, I have John 17:14. I have given them Thy word, and the word have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And also have Luke 21:17. You don't have to turn there. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So we're going to be hated of this world. The positive outlook is that we'll be glorified with Him.
Yeah.
And enjoy communion with God. You know? This world is just a vapor. It's, you know, it's a little small thing that we're going to have to go through. You know? And verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This present time, right now, this present time, this life that we have right now, it can't compare to what God has in store for us. And Matthew 16:26. This is talking to the lost man right here. 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I have Luke 16:22 and 23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man was also died and was buried. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifts up his eyes and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's some scary verses right there. If you're lost, my word to you would be, I can't convict you of your sins. I can't put God, the fear of God, into you. Only God can do that. And but if your sins are, if you're troubling your sins, I would strongly recommend you to go to Christ. You can rest in Him, you know, in His finished work. I'm going to read this one little thing and then I'll close. If you have Christ, this is really assuring. This is for the believer. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Amen. Right.
What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. He didn't spare his own son. That's how much he hated sin. He didn't spare his own son. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
So he's, and every sin we do, he's justified us through his finished work. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? This world can't separate us from Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, powers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have a friend, and he believes you can lose your salvation. And that's such a scary thing. I've read him that before, and he twists it, you know, to what he believes. And it's straightforward. He says, but it doesn't say you can't separate yourself from God. Well, why would you want to separate yourself from God? God has purchased you. You can't separate yourself from God, even if you wanted to. I don't understand that. I don't understand how a man can believe that. But it's man's wisdom, I guess. Anyway. We have 20 minutes, so I guess we can do an invitation.
Before we do the invitation, I want you to understand this man studied hard.
Amen.
What he did, it was not easy. And I'm not going to lift you up, but you did a very good
job. Amen. That's right. God's word is always good, isn't it? That's good.
But I will say, do it again. So get to studying. 143.
Amen.
And call me. I won't preach your sermon next time. Let's stay. I